Let's take our hymn books and turn to 169. There is power in the blood. 169.
Thank you. As usual, if you have a Bible, would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11? As we come to the Lord's table this morning, we read, as we do each month, the portion of Scripture in which Paul the Apostle wrote about observing the Lord's table. This table is for those that are saved, those who are believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a reminder to us of what Jesus did for us. We don't have any physical pictures of Jesus. This is the picture that God gave to us as a memorial to remember Jesus and what he did for us. And what an appropriate song to sing before this, Love Found a Way. In fact, I like the thought of love made a way. Amen. And we thank God for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible says, as we begin to read in verse number 23, Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse number 25 says, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." We are encouraged in these scriptures to take the bread and to remember the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Broken. In fact, I believe the matzah has holes in it. It's been through the fire. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ went through for you and I. Judgment on that cross. He took our pain. He took our penalty. He took our sins on himself. As we take the juice in a little bit as well, it's a reminder of his precious blood that he shed for our salvation, and also as Christians, for our daily cleansing, that you and I on a daily basis can be washed by his blood and cleaned. Amen. And so what we're going to do at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Chris if he would be so kind to pray as we remember the body of our Lord. And then we'll hand out the elements, the matzah, and we would ask that you would just hold it until the men come back, and then we'll just read one more verse and we'll partake together. As Brother Jason plays the instrument during this time, it's a good opportunity to do what the text said to do: examine yourself. To partake of the Lord's table in an unworthy state basically is to partake of the Lord's table with sin, known sin in our lives that we're not dealing with. And so rather than refuse the Lord's table, let's get things right with the Lord if need be. So take some time, bow your head and your heart before the Lord as the music's playing, and ask the Lord if there be anything between you and him. And may the Spirit of God reveal anything that's needful. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be clean and partake in a worthy state. Brother, if you'd pray.
Father, we thank you for this time to take your supper table, Father. It points back to your crucifixion for your second coming, Lord. We just thank the Lord Jesus, and our sins upon him, be pierced in his hands for us, and wherever kind of forms we deserve, Father. We thank you, God. We take up in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, it says again, as I read 1 Corinthians 11:24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and the purpose of it all, this do in remembrance of me." You may partake.
Can I ask Brother Jim if he'd be so kind to pray for us as we get ready to partake of the juice that reminds us of the precious blood of Christ?
Heavenly Father, the cup we're about to partake is a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ that were shed for our sins, Lord, and not only covered our sins, but washed them away, made us as white as snow. Oh, we just thank you for that, Lord, for what you did upon the cross for us, that we may obtain heaven with you. Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.
1 Corinthians chapter 11 again, the Bible says in verse number 25, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You may partake. To do something a little bit different here. Can we sing that Jesus keep me near the cross? Would you lead that, brother? 515. I think that's appropriate because what we just did, we just basically went to the cross in the Lord's table. And I think it's just a good thing to sing to keep our hearts and minds near that cross throughout this month.
Don't forget, if you did not get a copy last week, the financial statement for the first 6 months of this year is back in the back there. If you need a copy, pick one up. And if you have any questions about it, make sure you see Jim Bush about that. Secondly, don't forget, later this month on the 27th, the Renzies will be traveling with their son to college. And so he will not be here to speak. Brother Robert Strawn will be coming to speak that Sunday. So we look forward to seeing him. And then I mentioned this in Sunday school as well. Gina Fry was originally scheduled to come and see us on September 10th, but due to a scheduling conflict, she will be here the following Sunday on the 17th to give a report about her ministry there in Zambia. And then on the weekend of October 21 and 22, the Renzies will be gone again. And as such, we invited the Hitchens to come, and we're going to have a breakfast on that Saturday morning, the 21st, at 9 o'clock in the morning, as we usually do. Everybody will bring food for that, and then the church will provide the drinks, and then we'll have a good time of fellowship and singing, and Brother Hitchens is real good with that kind of stuff. And then they will stay around and be with us that Sunday morning as well. There will be some special music, and then Brother Hitchens will be teaching and preaching that day. So look forward to having them with us. So those are the major announcements that I have right now, except for one thing. We missed the birthday from Sunday school, and it's today. Brother Dennis. His birthday is today, so let's sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right, very good. One thing we will do real quickly, we have a special meeting, and that's turning our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Our memory verse for the week starting today is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. All right, and we'll say verses 10 through 14 together. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10 through verse 14. All right. Give me just an extra moment there to find it. All right. Before I forget, I neglected to mention the Deacon's Benevolence Offering. I keep forgetting that. Whenever we have communion, we have the Deacon's Benevolence Offering. So if you'd like to contribute to that, there's a basket in the back there. You can do that. Okay. 6, verses 10 through 14. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. All right.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see the miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what today, just a sinner saved by grace. could I boast of anything that I've ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victory God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say but just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my
so glad God saves old sinners. Amen? Ain't that good? I'll tell you, when he was singing that about himself, I was thinking that about myself. Amen? And I hope you were too. Boy, I'll tell you, that's enough to get you fired up a little bit there. Amen? If you have a Bible this morning, would you turn to 1 John chapter number 3? It's something that a few of the songs today were dealing with God's love. And this morning I want to probably begin to talk about the love of God. I, as usual, probably have too much to say, but we'll spread it out, hopefully. Amen. The love of God, huh? I heard somebody say about the grace of God, to try to preach about the grace of God is about the equivalent of trying to hug a mountain. You know, it's just hard to do. Amen. And the love of God is something that is amazing. Wonderful, wonderful hymns this morning, all including the love of God in it. And obviously the Lord's table is definitely an expression of His love for us. Amen. I'm so glad that He loves even me. Amen. In 1 John chapter number 3, I want to give you, I'm not going to give you everything maybe, but I have a few things that I want to express this morning about the love of God. In John 3:16, I'm sorry, yeah, 1 John, not John, 1 John 3:16. The first thing I want to say about the love of God is this: the love of God is perceivable. It's perceivable. In other words, we can see the love of God, no doubt about it. And I think today's a good day to preach about it, because we actually just saw the love of God as we partook of the Lord's table. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16, the Bible says this: "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." You and I can see the love of God in the fact that Jesus Christ gave His life for us. Amen. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. Thank you, brother. There's no stars in the sky. Amen. The sparrows don't fly. If that isn't love. We can perceive the love of God. We can see the love of God. I think Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God commended or demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? You know, it's not that he gave his life for good people. He gave his life for us, for sinners, for bad people. And that is the love of God. I want you to note also chapter 4 of the same book, 1 John chapter 4, and look verse number 9 and 10 if you would please. We're talking about the love of God, how rich and sweet, amen? How measureless and pure. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 9 and 10 if you would please. In this was manifested, evident, declared, perceived, if you will, demonstrated, the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love of God is perceived in the fact that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ laid down his life on that cross for you and I. It wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love for us. He could have called 10,000 angels, amen? But he loved you and I enough to stay there. He is the propitiation, the satisfying payment, the only satisfying payment for our sins. And I like 1 John 2:2 where it says, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus satisfied God the Father's righteous demands of judgment on that cross for all humanity. But it's only those who believe and call on the Lord that have it appropriated to their own accounts, if you will. Amen. The love of God is perceivable. There's a verse in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 4. It said, the bride said about the groom being Solomon, but yet I see one greater than Solomon there. I see God the Father. I see Jesus. I see the bride being the church. The bride said about this man Solomon, she said, he brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me was love. During a day when women were in the background, behind, and many times men weren't so expressive of their love for their bride. And I can't help but thinking about the thought is his banner, big publicly making it known over us, is love. It's evident. Amen? No doubt about it. The love of God, number one, is perceivable. But let me give you the second thought about the love of God. Would you turn, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 63. Isaiah, chapter number 63. The second thought this morning about the love of God, not only is the love of God perceivable, not only is it something that we can see, especially in the crucifixion of Christ, no doubt about it. But the love of God is not only perceivable, the love of God is practical. It's practical. You say, what's the difference between something being a theory and something being practice? It's not just something that's true and something stated. It's something that makes a difference in the life. Amen? Love that is in the heart is one thing, but love that does something from the heart is another. We're told in the scriptures that we need to love one another, and we ought not to just love in word, but to love what? In deed. Amen? God's love for you and I is not only something that he is, if you will, because God is love. It's something that moves him to do something for us. Amen? It's practical. It's something that was put into action. And because of it, we look at the illustration of his love in reference to the nation of Israel. And by the way, God loves the nation of Israel. Amen? No doubt about it. And here's what it talks about. In fact, one day God is going to redeem that nation. He's going to bring them through the tribulation period. He's going to rescue them out of the tribulation period in a supernatural way. And he's going to usher them into the millennial kingdom. Amen? And that's a great picture of God's love and care for the nation of Israel. His rescuing them and his bringing them into the millennial kingdom. And here's what it says about that in Isaiah 63. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, in all their affliction, we're referring to the nation of Israel. And by the way, they were an afflicted people, amen, and still are. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. You know what that means? He feels what they're going through. He feels what we're going through. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. This is one little verse that tells you God's great love for the nation of Israel and, by way of application, his great love for all of his children. Amen? In his great love, he saw them in their affliction in the nation, in Egypt, if you will. You remember, he came down and called Moses at the burning bush. He said, my people are going through agony. I know their sorrows. I see what they're going through. I hear their cries. And he, in pity and mercy and love, he sent Moses in there to rescue the nation out. He took them through the wilderness. He loved them and cared for them all the way through. And he's going to take them through the tribulation. And he's going to carry them all the way through and bring them in to the millennial kingdom. That's love. Love cares. Love feels and love cares and love provides. Love pities. Love rescues. Amen. And that's exactly what the love of God is. It's practical. His love is not something that he has inside that he feels. It's something that moves him to do something. One of the great things we read about the Lord Jesus often is he was moved with compassion. And when he was, he always did something about the situation. Amen? And that's what God is. Look, if you will, parallel this verse with Ephesians chapter number 2, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter number 2. The love of God is perceivable, but the love of God is practical. The love of God does something. The love of God rescues. The love of God redeems. I'm redeemed by love divine, glory, glory, Christ is mine. And I'm not going to go on. That was just a glimpse. Get the CD that I don't have. But number one, look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. This is a great thought about us, you and I, that have been saved. Amen. Look at what we were or where we were. Look at verse number 1 of Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is where we were. This is what we were. But look at verse 4. Two words made a big difference. But God. But God. Who is rich in mercy for his what? Great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead, and so on. And it goes on, and I'm not going to read it, but basically it says this. You and I were in this world. We were stuck under the leadership of the devil, stuck in the flesh, stuck in the world. And God's great love reached down and rescued us and ransomed us and pulled us out. Oh, what a great love. Amen. Great love. You see, the love of God is practical. It redeemed us. The love of God is practical, not only in that it redeems us. Might I say this? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 23, if you would, please. Not only does God's love do something for us. And by the way, that's what love does. Don't just love in word. Love in deed. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 23, if you would, please. Oh, thank God for his practical love. Thank God for his heart of love that does something for us. It redeemed us. And might I say, by way of example, looking at the children of Israel and his dealings with his people in that respect, and by way of application, we can understand this. Not only does his love redeem us, but might I say this, his love protects us. It protects us. In fact, we probably don't even know how often we've been protected. Amen? Look at look at Deuteronomy chapter 23. Look at verse number 3-6. Deuteronomy 23, 3-6, if you will, please. The Bible says this. Am I at the right spot? Yes. Verse number 3-6. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation. Shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. You remember that? You remember this man was hired to curse the children of Israel. Look at verse number 5. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. Why? Because the Lord thy God loved thee. Verse number 6, thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity. I don't have to read that. Why is it that this man Balaam could not curse the people of God? Because God would turn that curse into a blessing because of what? His love. His love. You see, in his love, it's practical. It redeemed us. It protects us. And not only does it do that, but it also restores us. Thank God for his restoring love. Would you turn to the book of Hosea, chapter number 14, for a moment, please? Hosea, if you don't know where Hosea is, turn to Daniel. It's right after the book of Daniel. Hosea, chapter number 14. Hosea, chapter number 14. You see, the love of God is practical. It reaches down to where we are, and it raises us up, and it saves our souls. Amen. And in his love, he protects us. No doubt about it. And by the way, might I say this? Just because you may have not had protection in one area or another doesn't mean God don't love you. Amen. I'm reminded in the book of John, chapter number 11, where they sent for Jesus and they said, Martha and Mary sent for Jesus and tell Jesus, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he delayed 2 days before he would even go. It wasn't God's will for him to get there before this sickness took his life. But when he got there, after 4 days, he raised Lazarus from the grave to show his power over the grave. He doesn't do that for everybody, obviously, but we understand this. If he's got power over death in the physical realm, we know he's got power over death in the spiritual realm as well. Those who are saved cannot be touched by the second death, eternal judgment. Amen? But I take that thought out of John 11. He whom thou lovest is sick. I don't doubt that the devil knocks on the door of people who go through certain things. When you're told this is happening in your life, this is happening in your life, one of the devil says is, does God really care? Does he really love you? Yes. Yes. We are all going through the way of humanity, no doubt about it. Unless the Lord comes back, we'll all go supernaturally. Amen? But sickness or whatever it is that comes to our lives by what God allows does not mean that he doesn't love us at all. Amen? No doubt about it. I want you to note in Hosea chapter number 14, you see, God's love is not only perceivable. God's love is practical. It redeemed us. It protects us. And thank God it restores us. The book of Hosea is written primarily to the northern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel had gotten away from the Lord way before the southern kingdom of Israel did. They were false worshiping. They were worshiping other gods. They were far from God. And the book of Hosea is about a prophet who was to marry a woman who was to become unfaithful to him. And Hosea was to love that woman and restore that woman. And it's a great picture of God's love for the nation of Israel, especially the northern kingdom, who had gotten so far away from him. Yet he still loved them. I'm so glad his love is practical. Look at chapter 14, verse number 1. As the Hosea tells the northern kingdom, he says this, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. He's calling them back to the Lord. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words. In other words, he tells them to confess to the Lord when they come back to the Lord. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips, which most likely is the sacrifices of praise mentioned in the book of Hebrews. He says in verse number 3, tell God, Asher shall not save us. We're not going to depend on Assyria to save us. We're looking to you. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, the idols, if you will. You are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And what Hosea is saying is, you got away from God. Come back to the Lord. Confess to him that you're sorry and ask him to forgive you and tell him you're not going to depend on nations and false idols. Basically, get back to God. Look at verse number 4. God point. God jumps in there. Listen, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. See, God in love for you and I, he restores us when we come back to the Lord, if we go away from him. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can't help but think about the prodigal son and how he took what belonged to him from his father, went out and lived riotously, spent his money, all of it, on everything that was sinful and wrong. And he got down to rock bottom and woke up and confessed his sin and got things right. He came back to his father. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, I'm not worthy. Just make me a servant. But his father restored him. His father provided back to him the garment that obviously he didn't have or lost, and the shoes and the ring, the authority as a son. He restored him in love and forgiveness. Thank God for love. Amen. That's what love does. You know, thinking about the love of God being practical and being expressed in a practical way, here's some things about the love of God that I think are practical. Mercy. Mercy. Here's what mercy is. God in love has not and will not give us what we rightfully deserve by way of judgment. Amen. Listen, if thou, O Lord, should mark iniquities, who would stand? If God gave any one of us what we rightfully deserved, we'd all be in trouble. Amen. Thank God for mercy. Mercy is the flower that springs from the bed or the ground of love. Amen. That's what mercy is. It's an expression of love. I love you and I'm not trying to give you what you deserve. Amen. By way of judgment. I think of what the psalmist said in Psalm 103 verses 8 to 14. He said, God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Jeremiah the prophet preached to the nation of Israel to get right with God, or God was going to judge them, and he kept preaching to them. They did not obey him. Jeremiah turns in, and he's watching the judgment take place. He's watching the judgment take place. And then in the book of Lamentations, which means weeping and howling, he laments as he looks at what God had done to the nation of Israel. He allowed the Babylonians to come in and to take them captive. They ruined the temple. They destroyed so much. And yet, out of all of the judgment of God, Jeremiah in Lamentation saw the mercy of God. He saw a remnant. The nation was not totally destroyed. There was a remnant. There was a group. There was hope. God was so merciful even in that judgment. Amen. God is so merciful. In fact, Hebrews 8:12, about the new covenant that you and I are a part of, he said, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. You and I that are saved, we're forgiven. And God does not currently give us what we deserve. And I thank God that when I leave this life, I'll never get what I rightfully deserve. Because Jesus took what I rightfully deserve on himself on that cross. That's mercy. One of the greatest illustrations of mercy that I can think of in the Bible is John 8:1-11. That woman that was taken in adultery. In fact, they caught this woman, they brought this woman to Jesus, and they said she was caught in adultery. In fact, they added on, in the very act of adultery. The law says she ought to die, she ought to be stoned, but what sayest thou? And you know what Jesus did? He delayed, he did what he did. He said, if you have no sin, you start throwing the stones. And then beginning at the eldest to the least, probably the eldest because he already knew all his sin. He lived long enough to know he shouldn't throw the first stone. And they all dropped him and walked away because their conscience proved them guilty. And he said to her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. He said, how could he let her go? The law says stone her. He was getting ready to take her place. Amen. That's mercy. That's mercy. You see, love is practical. It expresses itself in redeeming us, protecting us, and restoring us. It expresses itself in mercy and not giving us what we rightfully deserve. It's amazing how some people like to see other people's children get what they deserve. Oh, am I the only one ever been there? Amen. Why don't they? You know what I would do here? By the way, the best advice you get from people on raising your children are those that have none. I'd have done took the belt to that kid already. 1,000 times already. There's a childless person that has no love and no compassion and everything else. Can I get a witness? But when it comes to our own, and by the way, grandparents should not spank the children. Because it really don't make no difference. Can I get a witness on that? Now, unless you're a real tough grandparent. Because their paddles have this big sponge on it. Nothing's happening. It's amazing how merciful we are to the ones we really love. Am I right on that one? He really loves us. He really loves us. And he's not so eager to give us what we deserve. He's not. Mercy. This is an expression of his love. But not only is mercy an expression of his love, grace is an expression of his love. And in fact, here's the crazy thing. Grace on top of mercy. You see, mercy is I'm not going to give you what you rightfully deserve because I love you. But grace is on top of that, I'm going to give you what you don't deserve because I love you. Amen? Oh, boy. I'm so glad that he is God and I'm not. Amen? God in his grace gave us his son. Jesus in his grace gave us his life. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet he became poor for your sakes. That you through his poverty might be rich. God in his grace gave us his son. Jesus in his grace gave us his life. God in his grace gave us salvation. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Titus 2:11. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. God in his grace gives us help. God knows we need help. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain. Number one, first get mercy. And then grace on top of it. Grace to help in a time of need. You and I as God's children, we don't deserve the grace and the help that we get from heaven. He's so good to us. Amen. He gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us the strength to go on. He gives us so much. He gives us a word to help us, encourage us. Amen. He gives us a church. Gives us a family. He gives us so much. That's what grace does. He gives us help to live. He gives us grace to suffer. I was talking about that. You know, by the way, I don't have a problem with divine healing. I have a problem with divine healers. Can I get a witness? God can heal anybody he wants to, any way he wants to. That's his business. I just got a problem with these people that say that they're the ones that are connected with this. And we often say, why ain't they going to hospitals for free and helping people? Why is it you got to pay something to come to their thing and give them information all about yourself? Amen. And your ailments. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul the apostle had a thorn in the flesh. And he was suffering. And he besought the Lord three times. Lord, remove this. Lord, remove this. Lord, remove this. And God said no. You see, that thorn in the flesh is keeping you from more troubles. God had been so, to use Paul the way he used him, to give him the revelations he gave him, he can't let that get to Paul's head because that will ruin everything. So that thorn in the flesh keeps him on the ground. God used him in a mighty way, but oh, it hurts. Side effects to ministry, afflictions. Should be a warning, by the way. Should be a warning label in the book. Side effects. You want to serve the Lord? Here's the side effects. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Okay, I'll have them. No, I'm not going to take away this situation. It's amazing. All these divine healers, and Paul couldn't get healing for himself. Paul couldn't get healing for something. Timothy, I'll tell you, use a little wine for your stomach. Say, well, can't you just do a little thing on me? No. No, I'm not going to take away the ailment. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the grace that you need to make it through. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength. You notice grace and strength are the same. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul got a hold of that. And he said, you know what? I'm done praying for this thing to be removed. Now I'm just going to glory in the fact that if this is all part of ministry, then I'll go along with it. If this is it, this is it. Side effects. That's fine. As long as we know why they're there. God gives us his grace to live, to suffer. And he gives us grace to serve. Hebrews 12:28, the writer of Hebrews said, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. He gives us the help we need to live life and to serve him. Amen. That's love. That's love. Amen. You and I can say, as the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, by the help of God, I am what I am. Amen. See, grace expresses itself. It's practical. There's mercy out of love. Love. There's mercy out of love. There's grace out of love. And here's another thing, and I'll close with this. Another great expression of the fact of his love for us is his faithfulness to us. He's merciful. He doesn't give us what we rightfully deserve. He's gracious and he blesses us and gives us so many things we don't deserve. And yet also in his love, he's faithful to us. He's faithful to us. One of the greatest things about this is 2 Timothy 2:13. He abides faithful even when I'm not faithful to him. Remember I was telling you about the book of Hosea? That's the whole point about the book. God remained faithful to these people, although they had gotten away from him to live the kind of lives that they were living. God is faithful to forgive us. That's love, by the way. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Faithful to forgive us. He's faithful to help us. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. He's faithful. He's faithful. Many times I'm unfaithful to him, but yet he remains faithful to me. May his faithfulness to the unfaithful provoke us to be faithful. I've seen it happen in couples. I've seen an individual in a marriage become unfaithful and their spouse loved them and forgave them. And that unfaithful spouse was so broken over that love and forgiveness that it broke their heart and probably glued them even more closer to that person than anything. I look at situations like that and I say, I don't know how in the world you did that. Now, I'm not talking about the one that was unfaithful. I'm talking about the one that was faithful to the unfaithful. I wonder how in the world God give me a heart like that. Just don't give me the situation where I have to express it. I had to think about that one going in there. I'm like, no, you know. He's faithful to us. He's faithful to help us. And then he's faithful to deliver us. Let me close with one. Did I say I was going to close with a text? I'm going to close with one more. I know you got a pot roast in the crock pot or something, but look at Psalm 107. I'm going to quit after this one, I promise you. I'm not preaching. I'm really telling the truth on this one. I'm going to quit. Look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I'm just saying he's faithful. He keeps on loving me over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. Keeps on loving us. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad Jesus loves me. Even, what's that one stands on there? When I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. Amen. I praise the Lord. Let's look at this. I better stop singing because your roast is getting burnt. Look at Psalm 107. This is it's a 43 verse chapter, and I'm not going to read it all. It's a one person had the guts to express their carnality. Now, this is a great chapter. You can, excuse me, it could be called a history chapter. It goes over the history of the nation of Israel in great measure. Excuse me. I really believe that this chapter could parallel the book of Judges. Book of Judges is all about the children of Israel getting in trouble, God helping them. Getting in trouble, God helping them. Getting in trouble. You ever see a Christian like that? Been there, done that. Look at Psalm 107. Look at verse number 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their what? Trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. Oh, you think it was one and done? No. Look at verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Okay, two times I could put up with. But no, let's go to verse number 19. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. You think it's over? No. Look at verse number 28. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Basically, what I'm saying is, he rescued them. They got themselves in a situation. He rescued them. They got themselves in a situation. He rescued them. Here's the conclusion of the chapter. Look at the last verse. Look at verse number 43. Look what 43 says. Whoso is wise and will observe what? These things. Read the chapter over and over again, over and over again. If you observe these things, what are you going to understand? Even they shall understand what? The loving kindness of the Lord. You know what sometimes we do? We look at people whose maybe older children keep on getting into trouble. And this person keeps on helping them. And we say, what are you doing, man? One and done. Leave them alone. You and your lack of love are trying to tell somebody who loves somebody what they ought to do and what they ought not to do. Can I get a witness on that one? What I want to do, brother, if you would, 390. We're going to close with 390. I think it's a good song to sing to close with. It's called Love Lifted Me. Amen. And by the way, it still lifts me. It still lifts me. Amen. And we thank God for that. So Brother Ralph's going to come. We're going to sing that, and then I'll close in a word of prayer after the song. Amen. 390, if you would. Thank you, brother.
Mr. of the sea, heard my
talked about the fact that because his love lifted us, we ought to give our lives to him and live for him as believers. Amen? And that's what love does. It provokes love. And then that last stanza was a message for those that are not saved. If you're not saved or don't think you're saved, souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. Amen? If you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved and you have any questions, I'll be up front. If you're a lady, my wife will be up front. We'd be glad to talk to you about your salvation at the end of this service, no doubt about it. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our dismissal. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to gather today, Lord, and just have a good day in the house of the Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to have the Lord's table just to remember what Jesus did for us. And Father, thank you for your love for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for being merciful to us. Thank you for not giving us what we rightfully deserve. Thank you for being gracious to us. And Lord, giving us so much that we do not deserve. Thank you for being faithful to us, even when we're not faithful to you as we ought to be. Father, may your love provoke our hearts. I think of that song, Revive Us Again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Lord, bless and protect and hedge our dismissal. Help everyone to get to their destination safely. Keep us through the week, Lord. If you don't come back and we come back the next week to gather, we pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day and a great week. Amen.